Bob Connors here. It's 8:46 at 610 WTVN. Curtis Greco, author of Blind Vision. Curtis, welcome. Where will the new jobs come from?
Well, it's going to take some incisive and decisive directions coming from some key leadership on the federal level and, of course, on local levels. But first of all, Bob, thank you for the invite. Good to be with you this morning.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, jobs in the economy, economy and jobs, jobs in the economy and the jobs.
Doesn't go away, does it?
No, no. America needs jobs, but where are we going to get them?
Well, I think that some of the things we talk about in the book series is mechanisms to use in an environment to create jobs. The common misunderstanding is that government creates jobs, but in fact what the government should do and do at it, which is its best designed for, is to create an environment where jobs are created by the most efficient mechanism possible, and that's the native economy. The theory being of native economy is the fundamental engine of economy, and that is the demand in search of supply. So one of the things I think that we really need to focus on in directing the government into executing to create that environment is a couple ideas. I think, first of all, I think we need to stimulate the economic cycle. First, we do that by getting rid of tax base on, I talk about $250,000 income and below. Instead of reducing tax rates, why not actually create an environment where consumers, where the most productive, historically productive class of the economy, that is the so-called middle class, which I call the productive class, has actually freed up to do what the middle class does. Presently, the average American in the so-called middle class pays in various forms of taxes approximately 73% of their income in taxes. Doesn't leave too much left for the individual to go out and create an economic cycle. Government's talking about reducing taxes on individuals. Why not actually do the smart thing? Why not actually completely eliminate taxes on productive income at 250 and possibly even higher and below? And by doing that, you actually create the liquidity in the individual segment of the economy, the individual non-corporate segment of the economy.
Curtis, you say by removing health care, Social Security, and Medicare from government management. How's that going to do it?
Well, I think that what you do is, again, this gets back to the environment or the question that talks about, can government actually do this? We clearly see that government is not capable of providing an economic service, administrating an economic service. The government has used Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security as a forum from which to extract money from the economy. We all realize, and more people who don't are, is that, in fact, these things called Social Security trust funds and Medicaid and Medicare trust funds actually don't exist. They're actually pools with which the government takes money out of the economy, goes right into the U.S. Treasury, and is spent in the normal funds and expenditures of government. That's one of the reasons why you have such a huge crisis going on in Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security, is because not only is the money not there, but the government has actually sold the public on a benefit program that is not capable of providing because it doesn't actually function as a system that is economically self-sustaining. So, and it's created this belief that it is only manageable by the government. And so consequently, anytime anybody, whether it's on the private level or on the political level, looks at actually doing something to correct this idea of social mandates and social entitlements, that they become a ostracized politically, because the theory being is that the moment you look at Social Security, it's being done as a way to reduce benefits and consequently create the divisiveness of politics that makes one side of the aisle demonic and the other side of the aisle the champion of the little man.
Curtis, in the remaining time here, you also suggest making union participation optional for workers.
Great, you know, it's a great point, because I believe that one of the things that we've done in this country is we've allowed the idea of protecting labor rights to come under the banner of a protected class of labor, where now you actually have to the individual who, by their native right as an inalienable right to work, is now having to pay for the privilege of having a job. Now, that's the problem that creates is that it's not only completely against the concept of a free society, but it also adds a component to the cost of industry that really is non-productive. The union system, as we've seen, for example, in many of the public unions and many of the unions across the country that actually, the various labor units, in fact, what the unions are not providing is a value-added benefit to the industry or economic basis. They are, in fact, like government, extracting value out of the system. That is not to say that there isn't a place for unions, but why not make them optional? Why not make them produce a value that becomes of interest to the worker as opposed to being an appendage that gets attached to a business who's simply going out there as an economic function?
Bingo. Curtis, I thank you for the visit. Curtis Greco, author of Blind Vision, talking about where new jobs come from.